Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Srila Prabhupada. So this first line definitely describes me. An upstart living entity who commits offences by torturing those who are offenceless shall be directly uprooted by me, and even though he is a denizen of heaven with armor and decorations. Purport. The denizens of the heavenly kingdom are called Amara, or deathless, due to them possessing a long span of life far greater than of the human beings. For a human being who has only a maximum 100 years, to duration, 100 year duration of life, a span of life spreading over millions of years is certainly considered pretty deathless. For example, from the Bhagavad Gita we learn that Brahmaloka planet and the duration of one day is calculated 4,300,000 times 1,000 solar years. Similarly, in other heavenly planets, one day is calculated to be 6 months of this planet, and the inhabitants get life for 10 million of their years. Although in the higher planets, since the span of life is far greater than the human being, the denizens are called deathless. By imagination, although actually no one within this material universe is deathless, Maharaj Parikshit challenges even such denizens of heaven. If they have tortured the offenseless, this means that to the state executive head must be strong as Maharaj Parikshit, so that he may be determined to punish the strongest offenders. And it should be the principle of the state executive head that the offender of the codes of God are always punished. Om Gyananda Syankana Slakya Tasim Tumina Tasmai Sri Guru Namaha. I was born in the dark and wind of my spiritual master, and my mother taught the transcendental knowledge, Bhakti Chumaraj, and Sri Peter Tanya Dastavu. So we can see in this purport the denizens of heaven, they seem to be deathless due to the long span of life they have, but we can still see they still have to die. We know that in the pastime of Hiranyakashipu, when he was doing the austerities, and his austerities were disturbing the universe, so Lord Brahma came and he said, "I will give you a boon. What do you want?" He said, I don't want to die." And he said, "It's impossible. Even I have to die sometime. So even Lord Brahma has to die. But it seems deathless because of the time span is mentioned in the 4,300,000 species times 1,000 solar years, and on the one day, like 6 months on this, and 10 million years of their years. So therefore, it seems deathless, but eventually they all have to die. But that is the material body. The material body has to die. But the spirit soul within the body does not die. It is eternal. And whatever it says in Bhagavad Gita, the spirit soul cannot be crushed, cannot be burnt by fire, weathered by water, and so on. So the spirit soul cannot die because it is eternal. And the purpose for the spirit soul, it has an eternal, loving relationship with Krishna. Eternal, loving relationship. Not a forced relationship, a loving relationship. But we have forgotten this. On these one of those DVDs some years ago, when Prabhupada, I think, arrived at Dallas or Houston, and there was a small press conference after he arrived, and one of the journalists said, asked the question, "Why have you come to America?" He said, Prabhupada replied, "To remind you what you have forgotten." In other words, he was saying that you have forgotten your eternal loving relationship with Krishna. And I have come to remind you. And due to the illusory energy, we can be bound up and forget our true natural constitutional position as the servants of Krishna, eternal servants of Krishna. Because we are just identifying with this material body. We're identifying with our birthplace, with our temporary mothers and fathers, who one day will have, they've passed away. But their souls, their spirit souls, they transmigrated to another material body. So we have to identify, as a devotee, we have to identify that we are spirit soul and that we are eternal servants of Krishna and we have a loving relationship with Krishna. And this, the spirit soul, is described as is technically, it's called, is as the conditioned soul, is one word that describes this. The spirit soul or the jiva bhata is eternally conditioned and comes under the name of Vivavamnamsa Jiva, which means the spirit soul is eternal, has eternal relationship with Krishna, but is separated from Krishna because he comes from the marginal energy. And because he comes from the marginal energy, we have a choice, either to serve Krishna or serve the illusion energy. Now, at the end of the Bhagavad Gita, even as devotees, we have a choice. It says, and what verse is it? Yeah, 63. Yeah, have I explained this knowledge to you? Still more confidential, deliberate on fully, then do what you wish to do. So Krishna was instructing Arjuna, as we know, on the battlefield as Guru, etc. But at the same time, Arjuna had still that minute independence. So Krishna is saying, I've explained everything to you. I've cleared up your doubts. I've gave you so much instructions. Now you just choose what you want to do. You just choose. So therefore, Arjuna, at the end, he says, now my doubts are all cleared. Later on, then now I shall fight. So in the end, he decided to follow in Krishna's instruction. So when we come to spiritual life, we also have a choice to follow the instruction of the of the acharyas and the founder acharya and our tiksha gurus or tiksha and shiksha gurus, and we have to because we cannot follow, we cannot approach Krishna directly like Arjuna did, but Arjuna was a disciple, so we cannot approach Radha Krishna or Krishna directly. We have to go through the previous acharyas and the spiritual master. So at the time of initiation, spiritual initiation, the spiritual master, he knows our eternal relationship. And but that relationship is only in seed form. It's not like the Siddha Panani that these Babaji's give at Radhakund, no. He knows our eternal relationship, but it's in seed form. It's when we come to the platform of where is it now? Right here. When we come from to the platform of Rati. Rati means bhava bhakti. That is when our eternal, our full eternal relationship with Krishna is revealed. Whatever rasa it is in, whatever. And so we know there's 9 processes of devotional service. Then there's the next 9 levels. Rati, prema, sneha, mana, prayana, raga, anurag, bhava, mahabhav. And so rati means bhava bhakti. So then that's when, as I said, our relationship is revealed to us. And so therefore, if we just do the of course, the spiritual master, he may reveal or he may give hints, or Krishna may even sometimes reveal to that devotee, but that devotee will not say anything. He will just keep to himself or herself and not tell anyone. Just keep it confidential. And so therefore, our relationship with Krishna, as I said earlier, should be a loving relationship based on love. Shouldn't be forced. Because a forced relationship, as we see in the material world, often leads to very disastrous results. Now, nationally and with individuals and with families, and it can lead to many problems. And so therefore, it should be a loving relationship based on love. Now this love, of course, means that we will do something for the pleasure of the object of that love. So in the case of, in the Sarayana of Krishna in Vrindavan with the gopis and the other residents of Vrindavan, they just want to love Krishna and to satisfy him. And in return, Krishna, when he sees they're satisfied, Krishna satisfied. And then Krishna reciprocates with them, with the residents of Vrindavan and the gopis, Edibashi Madharadharani. And then again, it goes back and forward, it goes back and forward. In fact, that love increases and increases and increases until it comes to that last last stage of Mahabharata, which I'm not going to go into because it's very technical and I don't fully understand it. But I've got a little bit of understanding, that's all. But now the where is it now? Yes, it is. Come on. Come on. Yes, yes. So this is what every day I get a quote from one disciple of Gogovinda Maharaj. And today's quote is that this Mahabhava of the gopis of Radharani is the last attainment after Prema Sneha Mana Prayana Draga Anurag Bhav Mahabhava. And the eighth and last achievement, the gopis of the Bodhimana Mahabhava Radharani is Mahabhava Mahi. Even Lakshmi cannot have it, what to speak of others. So, going by that, I accept what Gobinda Maharaj says on that. And so therefore, we should, when the spiritual master gives the Harinam initiation, as I said, it's in, he reveals, he knows our eternal relationship with Krishna and who we are, but is in seed form. So first we go through the first nine process of devotional service. And then we come to the other nine, which I just mentioned. And then, but that gets to, after Rati, then it's Sneha, that it gets, each level gets thicker and thicker and thicker. It's like, only thing I can compare it to is if any of you been to Bunker Bihari Temple or in Vrindavan, or some of us have been to the Jagannath Mandir in Manipur, in Mayapur. So if you're fortunate, you go down there and you want to give a donation. And if you give a good donation, they give you a clay pot, a Lord Jagannath's kheer. But it's really, really thick. You have to have a spoon to scoop it out. It's not runny, as sometimes some kheer we see is runny, but it's really, really thick and creamy. So it's like that. So after the first nine processes of devotional service, the Rati and so on gets thicker and thicker and thicker. And so this shows that when it's that thick, you cannot, it cannot be, it's what I'm looking for. You're set on the path of devotional, nothing will disturb you, nothing. Nothing will disturb you or disturb us in spiritual life when we come to that level. And therefore, we have to, first of all, develop our loving relationship with Krishna, which at the moment, for me anyway, is in seed form. And later, by the mercy of the spiritual master and the acharyas, and the only words to describe it for me is, when will that day be mine? That when I can have enter that loving relationship with Krishna in a full complete way. So I'll stop there. Any questions or doubts? Or it's a bit short today, but what to do?
So initially you're talking about this loving relationship.
Yeah.
So Prabhupada comments in his purports in the second chapter, text 41, like that. First thing is, we have to understand we are not the body.
Yes, which I just said.
Yeah, and then that's the foundation of it, and then by understanding that, we can understand who Krishna is. By understanding Krishna, then understanding we are not the body becomes easy. Because there are many transcendentalists who do their own practices to understand how they are not the body, like jnanis and yogis and like that. But because the yogis, they want to enjoy mystic powers, so they get covered over by understanding who Krishna not is, that they get diverted. Jnanis, they want to compete with Krishna. They think Krishna has so much knowledge, so if I gain knowledge, I'll also become equal to him. So it seems like the karmis, they want to enjoy sense gratification. From that, Maya covers them up. So it seems like only the devotees can understand Krishna properly. Other three, they get diverted through Maya. And like you said in your lecture, how this relationship with Krishna gets revealed when we are qualified. Prabhupada said that, I think he's quoting the Ocean of Mercy or something, Guru Maharaj quoting also, how if the relationship gets revealed to someone who's not qualified, then the disciple and the guru falls down. So it's qualification is very important. I in the Jiva Dharma there was an example given how if one is not qualified to in terms of education, some example was given. I think Prabhupada gives an example in terms of, you can't teach algebra to an infant, you have to give them qualification to the level of understanding. So same thing with us, we are just beginning in our spiritual path. But if we can accept this simple understanding how we are not the body, and understand what Krishna is saying about Gita, about his greatness, then perfection is there, because it's like a green mango and ripe mango. Everything gets revealed. Even in our neophyte stage, things are getting revealed to us. Because We can see even in the temple life, devotees have given so many things up to serve Krishna. If you look at the outside people, they're enjoying so many so-called opulence, but they don't have Krishna in the center. You can see how Maya is really covering their vision. So also Prabhupada commented, like, the Varnashram is there for those who cannot do the temple life. For those who are doing the temple life, what Prabhupada has given, the prasanna and the bhakti, Varnashram is not required for them, because their line is in line of pure devotion service. But the Varnashram is there for those who cannot take the pure devotion service. It's like a gradual step, baby steps. They build up their spiritual piety in terms of when they can come to temple lifestyle. As temple devotees, we have to show the example to others. And those who are open for the mercy, they take to it faster, others will take a longer time.
Okay. First of all, you're correct, but as you said, we have to know we're not this body. And the goal is to get Krishna. But we cannot get Krishna without the mercy of the spiritual master. By the mercy of the spiritual master, we get Krishna. By the mercy of Krishna, we get the spiritual master. So we have to have a bona fide spiritual master. We cannot approach Krishna directly. By the mercy of Guru, we get Krishna. By the mercy of Krishna, we get Guru. We cannot neglect this Guru Tattva. That is Mayavadi stuff. Impersonal. Sorry, Srinivas, but this is... We're not. You just said that we... to get Krishna, but you did not mention about getting the mercy of the spiritual master. Yeah, but you did not mention it. Yes, but you should have mentioned it. You know, yes, it's an important point to mention this. We have to get the mercy of Guru, we get Krishna. We cannot neglect the spiritual master. Without the spiritual master's lotus feet, we cannot do nothing at all. We're just totally nothing. You can approach Krishna, do so many austerities, pray to Krishna, chant Hare Krishna. But if you're chanting Hare Krishna without having a bona fide spiritual master, just like Eklabriya. You know, he wanted, what's his name? Yeah. But because he was not authorized, even though he learned archery by himself. And when Arjuna was hunting one day, and the dogs came back with a mouth, with arrows, and he said, who did this? And the spiritual master, and then he said, I did this. But then he said, you're not my disciple. You have to give me something. Then he said, you have to cut your thumbs off. So we have to be authorized. There's so many people chanting Hare Krishna. But without the bona fide spiritual master, we cannot, it will have no effect in one sense. It can lead to some pious it can lead to some sukriti, yes. And in this life or next life. But we cannot do anything about the mercy of the spiritual master. So any more?
I had a quick question, if possible. Mm. You're talking. You're talking in your class about developing the desire. So I was wondering, for most of us, we don't even have that desire, let alone kind of servants of Krishna, most of us, all servants of Guru.
Yes.
So how do we, in the initial stages, how do we even develop the desire?
You should be desiring to desire. That's all, desiring to desire. And then Krishna in the heart, he sees this, and then he'll give you somehow that desire will increase. But we should have a desire to desire.
Thank you, Babaji. Hare Krishna. Yeah. Wonderful class. I have two questions. The first one is, you know, in this pursuit to become servant of the servant of the servant, how do we deal with our false ego? Because sometimes it blinds us and we make lots of mistakes. But of course, you learn through your mistakes. But how do we deal with our false ego? What do we keep reminding ourselves when our big fat ego comes between us and that mood of becoming servant of the servant of the servant? And the second question was based on something that Prabhuji had mentioned, that, you know, temple, if you're a temple devotee, then you don't need to practice varnashram. You can just be in the temple. But does that, I know we're not this body, we're the soul, but does this apply to Matajis? Because, you know, Srila Prabhupada says that women should be married. So does that mean you can be in the temple for the rest of your life as a brahmacharini?
You can, but I've come to the understanding that it doesn't matter if you're initiated. So many times I've heard over the years that from congregation members, I'm only a part-time devotee, and they're initiated. No. If you're initiated, if you're a householder, or living in the temple, you're a full-time devotee. No mistake, nothing. If you're initiated, you're living outside or living in the temple, you're a full-time devotee. Because initiation means you're a full-time devotee. It means it's as simple as that. You got the chant, you have to chant your 16 rounds every day and follow the four Lord principles every day. So that is a full-time occupation. Mm-hmm. You know, so some congregation may be chanting 8 rounds, building up to 16, so they can go through their mentor system, eventually come to that stage. But initiated devotee living outside or the temple means full-time devotee. And we can see even in our movement, there are many householders who are full-time preachers. Full-time preachers. They're traveling all over the planet preaching. Some are taking their wives with them preaching. What's his name? Used to come here. Sankarshan Prabhu, that's it, yeah. No, Sankarshan Prabhu. And Mahatma Das. Now, they're not sannyasis. They're traveling around the world preaching. Not at the moment because of the virus, but normally they would be traveling around preaching. Sankarshan Prabhu is traveling with his wife. So that means they're not living in the temple. That means they're part-time. No, they're full-time devotees. So full-time devotee means that that one is fully engaged in devotional service. And even though you're working outside, you can still engage that material energy in devotional service. Any more?
Thank you, Prabhuji.
Thank you for your class, Prabhu. And this is a nice discussion, nice question, Mataji, also. I was just having some reflections on that. When we did Bhima Kadashi, or not Bhima Kadashi, when we were doing the all-night, all-day fast, at that point, we were having some discussion about what it did to us mentally. And Roberta Prabhu helped me to understand that when we do austerities, when we fast like that, our false ego starts to run away. Meaning that when we fast and take austerity, the false ego gets confused. I thought I was this body, what are you doing to me, kind of thing. And taking that difficulty, we understand that we're not this body, starving ourselves, not sleeping enough. Chanting all these sacrifices will help us with our false ego. And to the other point about Varnashram, I just had one more reflection as well.
It's true what Srinivas said. It's true. I've read what he said. It's true.
Yeah.
I've read the same sastra. I've read the same.
Yeah. There's many Matajis who just stay in the temple all their lives as well. And so many examples with, you know, Matajis coming into guru system now as well. So it's an opportunity for the Matajis to stay in the temple. And even when they're not taking such responsibility, there's Brahmacharinis staying in the temple for a long time because they're not women anymore, they're Vaishnavis.
No, of course, our best example is was Mother Kalangana. She spent her whole life in the temple. In different temples, New Vrindavan, Soho Street, Nana, of course. So she spent her whole life in the temple. So she's a very good, she's the best example I can think of. And she gave her whole life. So anyway.
Okay, a lot of people here are in their younger years, and certainly there's so much you have to understand anyway in terms of your we try and analyze everything. And we do austerities, we try and this virata, so many different viratas. It's an experiment with yourself, actually. But the only way you can find out, because when you're young, you're enthusiastic, you do try this, you do try that. Oh, this didn't work. That's the mind. It has. What you need to know is actually that whatever you're trying, you find out by trying what is appropriate. You know, it's just a matter of understanding that you're in a youthful situation, and that it's likewise the spiritual master. To come to the spiritual master, certainly I was forced. I was 12 years in ISKCON. Still thinking, always following and everything. But certainly, Mother Kalangana gave me the understanding that you need a spiritual master. And actually, when we do that stage and realize that actually you understand what it means to have a guide, number one, you have to do it for them and not cause offenses, because that reacts on them. And so your relationship with the spiritual master is very important. You have to be convinced of this step you take, because it's not a whimsical thing. It's not a sentimental thing. Oh, he gave me a gun and he smiled at me. All this stuff. You've got to actually make contact. And there's so many people in trouble, like myself, who was in trouble, where I didn't make contact with that person who I'm initiated with. You know, and it was much to my foolishness that I had to admit my fault. And it's just something you really have to go to say, to analyze, am I following? You know, even though I'm initiated, it's a minefield. You have to go have difficulties. You have to experience them to come through them and realize you're a fool. Actually, without a spiritual master, we're foolish. And that's the ultimate realization, really, that actually we're just foolish neophytes in a sense. So don't be impatient with this spiritual master business. Otherwise, it just won't work. You've got to be happy in all the regulative principles, including 16 rounds, before you even make the step. You've got to look at yourself. And then there's a spiritual master, and like you said, if you're requesting Krishna, help me find my spiritual master. If you don't ask Krishna, you won't get it, that's for certain. You can't do it on your own. So it's a matter of asking for the desire, like you said.
And also, without become Guru Das, if one is not Guru Das, or Dasya, one cannot be Krishna Das. Impossible. Impossible. One has to become Guru Das first, servant of the Guru. Then one becomes Krishna Das. And how do we serve the Guru and love the Guru? By following his instructions. This is how we love Guru. As Prabhupada said, if you love me, you will follow my instructions. So first we have to become Guru Dasya, then become Krishna Dasya. Otherwise it's impossible to get Krishna. Okay. Anything else? Okay. I do apologize for any offenses I made and my little outburst to Srinivas, please. But check out Buddha Pascha, Rita Sandra Chapter, Vishwa Yoga, Namaha.